Argentina, South America's second largest economy, faces an imminent default on its bonds after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal on a case brought by billionaire American investor Paul Singer. The hedge fund investor refused to negotiate a deal to reduce Argentina's debt, a decade after the country defaulted on $100 billion in bonds. In winning his case in U.S. courts, Singer, owner of Elliott Management, is owed $1.5 billion by the end of June. More than 90% of Argentina's creditors agreed to slash this debt by 70% in exchange for new bonds, which the nation has been paying off. Singer and other hedge fund investors in the case refused, seeking full payment of bonds plus back interest. U.S. courts have ruled that Singer and other holdout creditors must be paid in full. Argentina's President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner blasted the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, declaring, "Argentina has no reason to be submitted to this kind of extortion." In recent days, however, Argentina has moderated its tone, asserting it is willing to negotiate with holdout creditors, but no talks are scheduled before the bond payment deadline on June 30th. Eric Lecompte of the debt relief group Jubilee USA told The Guardian, "For heavily indebted countries trying to support extremely poor people, this is a devastating blow. These hedge funds are equipped with an instrument that forces struggling economies into submission." The Rio Grande Valley on the Texas-Mexico border has become ground zero in the latest immigration crisis as thousands of children from Central America cross the border in unprecedented numbers. Many are reported to be fleeing crime and gang violence at home and hoping to win sanctuary in the United States. The estimated 200,000 migrants that have crossed the Texas border in recent months has put intense pressure on the Obama administration to address the crisis, as detention centers in both Texas and Arizona have become overwhelmed. Some child migrants have been released to relatives in the U.S., raising hopes they could win permanent status. The crisis prompted Vice President Joe Biden to meet with leaders of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras to stop the flow of young migrants to the U.S. border. White House domestic policy advisor Cecilia Munoz insisted, "This is a very dangerous trip that people are taking. People are putting their children in the hands of smugglers in the hope or misconception that they will be allowed to stay." Several immigrant rights groups, including the ACLU, have sued the Department of Homeland Security, claiming children in custody faced physical and sexual abuse. The flex-time workforce has grown nearly 50% since the 2008 financial crisis. The Christian Science Monitor reports that many workers have found themselves faced with the choice of accepting non-traditional schedules or losing their jobs. A survey of companies by Ardent Partners, a market research firm, found that 30% of all workers are now non-full-time employees, nearly triple the number since the recession hit. Traditionally, temporary and other contingent workers have been the first fired and first rehired in times of economic distress. The recent downturn in one way was no exception. Many companies slashed their workforce of temporary employees early in the recession. Their numbers declined by more than 30% from the beginning of the downturn to its lowest point. But almost 5 years after the official end of the recession, many companies haven't sought to rehire workers and return to pre-recession employment levels. Instead, some have found that having a large non-traditional workforce has made them more profitable. Critics accuse many companies of classifying people who are clearly employees as independent contractors so they can block them from joining unions, negotiating pay increases, and being eligible for unemployment compensation and other benefits. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Liz Becker.